Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Pavone Group and Vigor, a branding and marketing agency for restaurant, beverage, and hospitality brands. Learn more at vigorbranding.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hey there, welcome to Fork Tales. I'm Michael Pavone, and I'm happy to really get a chance to talk to a good friend of mine. Today we have Andy Gellert here. He's a good friend I've known for and respected for a long, long time. Andy's the president of Gellert Global Group, one of the largest food importers in the world. They import more than 2,500 product lines from more than 60 countries. Andy, thank you so much for being here.
Mike, always a pleasure. Always great seeing you, and nice seeing your smiling face, and I love hanging out with you. We always have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if they have music for this in the beginning, you know, I was gonna change up our Fork Tales music and have a little.
I don't like to brag about my beautiful voice. Where you saw me on stage with Salt and Pepper a long time ago. You know? I hung that up a long time ago. I got to concentrate in the food business, Mike. I can't just sing my life away.
Yeah, a little Salt and Pepper in the beginning of this thing gets us off on everything. And you know, the thing is, Andy, I have known you for a long time, but I love doing these interviews because I always learn more. So it's like I might have seen you over the years at these shows and get to hang out and, you know, have a drink together. But, you know, when you dig in a little deeper about the family business and about the food industry and all of that, it's just I'm always blown away. And your company and your family, which is the company, is absolutely amazing. So tell us a little bit about Gellert Global Group and what they do.
Yeah, I mean, like next year we'll celebrate our 80th birthday and we're very excited. And as I said, you know, I'm third generation, and I live food. It's a passion of mine. I love all aspects of the food industry. And you know, like my grandfather started this in 1945, importing meats from Eastern Europe and seafood. And we've grown and got other lines of businesses in. You know, we're selling food service, retail, manufacturing, cruise line. We're now involved in, you know, thanks to YPO, I'm involved in the franchise business. By the end of the year, we'll have 55 guys, thanks to our good friend Dan Rowe.
Yeah.
We introduced him to our first one. And, you know, we invest in food businesses, and it's just, we're all about food. I tell everyone I hit my belly, this is R&D. This is R&D.
That's fantastic. Now, you know, I know family owned, super important. I know you treat everyone like family because I've seen you around customers, employees, the whole thing. But your dad, he is an older gentleman, but still very much involved in the business. Is that correct?
I mean, 86. I mean, I was, you know, I went to his house to play tennis at 6 o'clock in the morning today. We play with people from our company. He loves it. Like my mom goes away for the summer. He's having this summer is incredible. He's 86. Twice a week, he has people from the company come over and have dinner and just That's different awesome. Groups of people. And he loves what he does. It's really an honor to work with him and watch him. He loves his suppliers. We love our bankers. We love our employees. It's all about, you know, he's all about people, and it's really great. I said this summer at the Fancy Food Show, he was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's such a good honor to see him up there and enjoying all the success of all we've done together.
But, well, it's so well deserved. He deserved that honor. The company's amazing, but you should give him a break. I mean, I think you put sneakers on him. He had sneakers on in the booth to run around. I mean, you know.
He loves, you know, listen, like I said, he works out before we play tennis in the morning, and he's all about the next activity and what we're doing next. So, you know.
That's fantastic. How many members of the family are currently working in the company?
So today we have I have my sister, my brother, and my cousin in my generation. And my other cousin who runs the Five Guy business. And then I have my father and my uncle. So there's, you know, the three, six of us, you know.
That's great.
And we're getting ready for the third generation. Hopefully, you know, there are 9 kids in the next generation. And hopefully one of them or two of them will come in. And we're excited. It's all about, you know, we love what we do. And there's a lot to do. And, you know, some of these family businesses, you know, the family, you hear about them and they're fighting and they're not getting along. I think we've been successful because we keep growing and there's enough things that everyone can do and everyone brings value that no one's stepping each other's toes. We're all different, but we appreciate each other's opinion and listening to each other. I mean, we argue, but you know, we get it off our chest and we move forward, you know?
Or you go out and play tennis, right? And solve it over
exactly.
the tennis court.
On the court. We solve it on the court.
So the kids, are they interested? Are they old enough? I don't know how old they are. Are they old enough to be getting close?
You know, my daughter is a social worker therapist. So I don't think she's going to come in, you know, but my, you know, my other two potentially will come in. One probably more likely than the other. Others in the real estate industry. And then my sister's kids potentially were there. And my brother's kids are a little bit younger. So I definitely think at least three or four will come in for the next generation. But in the meantime, we keep growing and getting bigger and looking at opportunities and we have fun while we do it.
That's awesome. Well, so in your situation, I mean, we're of a generation, you and I, I'll say that, like, did you have a choice or did you always know that this is what I'm going to do or I want to do it? Or did dad put a little pressure on you and say, hey, look, you know, you gotta do your thing?
I did everything wrong in the family business. You know, they all say, go out and get outside experience. And I came right in.
Uh-huh.
And it was difficult. I'm not going to tell you it was a piece of cake. And my brother was a lot, you know, he went to business school. He went to law school. He worked in private banking and then he came in. So it made a lot of sense. My sister, the same thing. You know, I did everything wrong, but it's good to know. It's good to do it because then, you know, you're not going to repeat it. So,
yeah.
You know, my son who definitely looks forward to maybe joining one day says he wants to spend 3 to 4 years, you know, outside and coming in.
Well, you know, I had the same rule with my girls. I mean, I don't know that they'll ever want to come into, why would anyone go to an advertising agency or come into a marketing firm? But if they would, I said they had to work somewhere for 2 years and get one promotion. And thankfully, they've both been doing that. In fact, they've been doing it for a while now, so maybe they're not interested. So they may have dodged the bullet or maybe I have. But I just think our generation, it was one of those things where, you know, yeah, go do what you want to do, but you're coming into the company kind of thing, you know? I started my own business. I didn't go in my dad's company, but I mean, it was one of those things where I just think a lot of folks, it was just, I guess, different. Now I think with my daughters and probably your kids, like, go out and do your thing. And if you're interested, talk to me. Don't not talk to me about it, but you know, you don't, no pressure, that kind of thing. You know, it's just a little different.
Yeah. You want it to happen organically. Yeah. And you know, listen, he comes around a lot of the meals and the family all gets together and a lot of time is talking about work. So he's interested and, you know, he spends weekends. He came to the fancy food show. They all came. They like to see what's going on. And, it's a fun business. So I think there's opportunities for them in the future if they want, but there's no pressure. We're growing. We have a lot of, we've done a great job of hiring a lot of outside, professionals to help us run the business, and they don't have to come. We're doing well, and you know they're all going to enjoy from the fruitfuls of the business as it gets bigger. But there's no obligation for them to come in. We like them to come in, but we don't want to make a rule that they have to come in.
Yeah. Well, on that note, and we'll jump in more about the business, but on the family side, you mentioned earlier that we're both in YPO and we both know that a lot of YPO businesses are family owned businesses and there are challenges, right? With being family owned and led. I mean, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Listen, it's hard, but you know, I think, and thank God for YPO. It's been, to me, it's one of the best, opportunities in my life. I really enjoyed all the people, somebody like yourself, and getting involved in the Food Network and my New Jersey Forum. These guys are like, you know, are my board of directors and my own personal board of directors, and they really helped me grow. And where I was being stubborn, they tell me to relax. Where I was not being aggressive enough, they push me. And it's just been a great environment for me to prosper as a leader because of YPL.
That's great. Well, and I know your food and beverage forum or that group, and boy, you know, I can't believe you learned anything from them. So you guys have a group of cherished individuals.
We got a great
characters,
group, and we've been together for over, you know, some of us back almost 16 to 18 years, and it's great. I love seeing the guys, and we try not to miss meetings, and
yeah, it's cool.
And we're supportive of each other.
Yeah, so. I've had a couple of them on here, so it's been great. They're like the characters, that's for sure. So yeah, and you mentioned your father got an award at Fancy Food. I was there at Fancy Food this year, and it's a great honor. He's also a member of the New Jersey Business Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think We're the 11th largest privately held business in New Jersey. We're very proud of that. And we work hard, and he deserves to be honored for what he's accomplished.
Yeah. I mean, so as I was saying earlier, you know, I get to meet folks and get to see, you know, different folks at different shows. And I knew you ran a great importing company, but I had no idea the size and scale. So, on your vision is to be a part of every food experience. And, you know, well, I will say that sounds like a really, you know, audacious goal, right? But with your company, you kind of are. I mean, you have franchise. You import your frozen food. You have CPG. You have private label. I mean, it's incredible. Can you talk a little bit about the breadth and the different companies within your organization?
Exciting, and I think we've grown over the years through acquisitions. I think the last 18 months we made 3 acquisitions. We're probably closing on one in the next month and have 2 on the table that we're looking at. So growth is, we're always looking at mergers and acquisitions. And we like to say, listen, private equity, if you're a family business, you want to stay apart, you know, enjoy the ride, take some money off the table and join our family instead of private equity where they change your business up. And listen, you if you want to cash out, you can always cash out. But if you want to enjoy the ride a little bit longer and take some money off the table, we've been very successful about people wanting to join a family business. And ours is we're like a very large family business. So we get a lot of opportunities to look at business deals.
Yeah. And, you know, your passion for the business and your love of people, it sort of precedes you. Like I've always seen that about you, your energy. And it's not artificial. You do that. I've seen it. I've seen you at the booth when I'm standing, walking the shows and stuff. And it's really kind of really cool. And I'm sure that's a compliment to your father, and I'm sure your whole family's like that. But you do treat everybody like family, and I think that's admirable.
And network is always is important to my father. I learned that from him early on. And being part of YPO, I love leveraging my network, and not just for myself, but helping people.
Yeah,
I like investing in early stage CPGs and helping these young people and watching their passion and, you know, leading them to other opportunities. I love putting two people together and let them prosper. It's really a pleasure of mine, you know, watching that happen.
Yeah. Well, and that leads to success, right?
Yeah,
help people out.
Way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I will say, I've been informed with you, and you were a treasure and valuable as all get out. And the amount of people you know and the connections you have are second to none.
And, we do have a good friend in LA who likes to compare my good friend, our good friend Clara. Probably knows one more than I do.
Well, I would always keep score when we'd be talking, like who knew who or who knew the other person better or whatever else. But I will say, I'm excited for you to be on here because I know my podcast now will be, I'll rival the football games, the upcoming football games for viewership because of you. So I appreciate that. So, but back on the companies, you have frozen, you have CPG. Can you talk a little bit about the different types of products?
We have frozen fruits, frozen vegetables. You know, we just actually, a few years ago, we invested in a company called Cafe Spice. I made him join YPO and they make ethnic meals. We did the Bloomberg of Food, the Food Institute.
Yep.
We made a minority investment in there. We do a lot of different retail, private label, manufacturing. We're just trying to leverage everything on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, we're looking at an olive business, a rice business. There's so many opportunities out there. We just want to add on to our great team here. We got great people. We have great salespeople, great buyers, and finance, and we can do some more. So we're looking for more opportunities.
That's great. Do you need an ad agency? I'm just kidding.
Well, it's not our own brand. We do have some brands that are ours, and we bought 2 brands from UNFI, Mountain Vicos, that was owned by UNFI, and Sonoma Cheese. So we do work on our brand. So
that's awesome.
We have a marketing department. We gotta get you more engaged, Mike.
There you go. Oh, hey, I'm always here for that. That's awesome.
Bring me your Philly cheesesteak. We'll have a meeting.
Hey, that's done. No problem there. So when you're building and you're always looking for these new products or companies, when you want to import them, what factors are you looking at? Like, I mean, obviously you can eat a lot of things, but you're in so many different places. What is it that you're kind of like, what's on your checklist at the top of the checklist?
We want to look at something that makes sense. So if we love the old math, 1 + 1 = 4. So we want to find efficiencies. Maybe they're doing the same thing we are, but they have a big finance team that we don't really need going forward. Or maybe they're in one segment of the business where we're not in. Mm-hmm. So we try to really identify where we can do the math where 1 + 1 = 4 and 5. You know, we don't want to, a copycat doesn't really help sometimes, but if they have a big staff and there's some redundancy there, then mm-hmm. it could make sense. Otherwise, it could be a whole new field that we can add to our already, you know, deep bench of products that we do. So we don't have a playlist of what we're looking for. We just look at different opportunities and see if they make sense. I mean, like, just like building a network, we love looking at decks and looking at opportunities of mm-hmm. why are companies for sale? Why aren't they aren't? And, you know, but a lot of times they're like, listen, this is going to go to private equity. We're not going to even bid because we know we'll right. be blown out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, obviously, and you know, I kind of had this philosophy as well in the business. It's like, you're opportunistic, you know, you're not saying I'm looking for this exact thing. It has to be this big, that category doing that thing. It's sort of like, oh, here's an opportunity. This fits, or no, it doesn't fit. Or, hey, this can enhance that. And if we do this, maybe we can go here. And so I've always looked at that. It's kind of fun to do it that way. I kind of always
do that way. You're looking under the rug and see what's there.
Right? Yeah.
And put that puzzle together because, like I said, a big company that's, you know, a competitor of mine, it's going to go for a lot more for private equity. Well, I don't even want to play in that area. I don't have private equity money where I could afford to strike out. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure these are successful acquisitions and they fit in the mold. So.
Yeah, and you make a really good point because we've seen, you know, I'll say, and I know you've seen for sure, but in my business with CPG and in the restaurant side, private equity will come in and I'm not going to say they don't care if they fail, but they know it's a numbers game. They know that all aren't going to pan out. So they make these investments and then they do they apply their playbook. And then, you know, if they it's like baseball, if they hit 3 out of, if they hit 3 out of 10, they feel like they've done something and you probably have financially, but the other 7 are just left to the wayside.
Exactly. And they can afford to do that. We really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And no. We don't want to lose direction. I mean, listen, we like, you know, we're very big and we're happy where we are, but we're not in a goal to rush to get to 2 billion.
Right.
We're going to get there smart. And if it means paring down and SKU rationalization to be more profitable, all the better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself doing that a lot? Do you have to go in there and do SKU rationalization
all the time? Yeah. All the time. We really, you know, SKU customer rationalization.
Yeah.
And we'll bundle a bunch of customers and give them to a bigger customer just to make sure our warehouse is more efficient. It's really all about efficiency.
I mean,
as you get bigger, you can be more efficient, but you have to be diligent and SKU rationalization, customer rationalization, people rationalization as well. You know, it's important.
Yeah. And that's such an interesting point because I think, you know, I'll say in my own experience, you know, in our holding company, we have several different marketing companies and I'm always afraid to let customers go. Like, oh, no, we can do it for them. Sometimes it's not good business, right? And sometimes you have to make those tough decisions and, you know, it's hard to let employees go, but it's hard for you to let, or I'll say for me, to let a piece of business go, a paying customer.
Oh, it's, you know, you don't like, you know, same thing, but you got to look at it like, you know, you still have another 300 other employees out there that you want to do for the better of the group.
Right, so that's right.
It makes sense to let someone go or let a customer go in order to be more efficient for everyone else. So it's hard. And initially it's hard, but over time you realize it's the better decision and to be more efficient and just try.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the things that, you know, we have the two agencies, we have Quench, we have, which is CPG, food and beverage. We have Vigor, which is restaurant marketing. You cover them all because you're in franchise with 5 guys. You're in, you know, in the CPG world. It's sort of like, it's hard to keep track of everything. How do you manage it all? I mean, I know you have different folks, but you're sitting up there. Are you just pulling up a different P&L for each of these business units every 2 days or?
I mean, we're on basically a lot of these Zoom calls and just listening in. And, we just had one a few minutes ago. You know, we do a lot of nut and dried fruit business and we're working on getting bigger in the bakery in the supermarket. So how could we be, you know, and we sat down today and we talked about all of our items. And they all fit in the bakery, but we're selling very little in the bakery. So it's an untapped market and it gets everyone excited. And we sit down and throw things at the wall and see what sticks.
That's great.
And it's kind of fun. Like we just said, hey, you know, we do this item. This would be good for, and I love sitting in these meetings and just, you know, throwing out ideas.
That's great. That's great. Very cool. Well, I know at Quench, you know, the CPG side, we would do to learn, to understand the industry. We started the agency in food and beverage. It's like, you can't just say you do advertising and marketing food and beverage. You have to have an expertise. We went out and hired people from the CPG world. But then what we did was we created a food and beverage trench just to learn what was going on, right? And the first year, we've done them for over 15 years. You've probably seen me speak on them at different events.
Yeah, you do a great job. I love hearing you at the updates on the YPO conferences, and you really got a pulse of what's going on in the industry.
Yeah, so we would do that. We did it actually just for our own edification, just to learn. And then when we did it, we said, well, let's just give these away. So we do them every year. We give them away. Fast Company's written about them and all that. Do you use trends for your business for that next big thing? Or is it more of really just looking at the pieces and moving things around on the board?
We look at trends, we look at pieces. A lot of our supply customers say, we like this item, can you go out and find it for us? And we got people in some cases, we do a lot of business. Some of our customers say, here's an item, here's a supplier, you're a great importer, we want you to import it for us. So it just, because we're a trusted supplier, we're good at logistics, they actually given us business to handle, and it's exciting. And then we take that business and look at other opportunities as well.
How is there anything? Are you doing anything in the beverage side, or is it mostly all just food?
No, I mean the beverage side we have. So we Cipriani, so we handle all their CPG items.
Okay.
So they make the Bellini mix, non-alcoholic Bellini. So we're slowly getting it. That's our beverage, and we'll see where that takes us. But that's new space for us, and we're doing it on the retail side. Now we're looking to try to. Listen, all the beverage distributors we don't really touch on. So we're getting a handle of that business as well. So that's the only part of beverage. I'm an investor in a few CPG like Olipop and Lemon Perfect, a few others. I think that's a tough space, but I think we're getting our feet wet with this Cipriani line.
See, that's interesting. You're Lemon Perfect. We just took over their space in Atlanta. They're headquartered in Atlanta, yeah. And we just took over their space. They went all virtual, so.
Yeah. Yanni went to Cornell with me.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. You should get him on your podcast.
I've met him. He's a great guy.
He's Mr. Energy. It was his birthday this week. So
Right? I will reach out to him. You can appreciate this, Andy. You know me pretty well. So I was gonna sublease his office, right? So it's a real estate deal. I'm gonna sublease it. We're gonna move from one office to this other office. So I talked to him, and he was like, he was going 180 miles an hour, and it was great, and all that. And I was like, I really like this guy. And I'm like,
he's an infectious person.
Yeah. And I'm like, Yanni, I said, hey, if you want, I'll do the deal here with you, but if you want to stay. Your energy and what you're in the beverage, that's what we do. You can stay, if you have meetings here and if your people come in, it's a big enough space for all of us. I'm not asking for anything on the other side. You can stay. I thought energy, creates more energy. So, and we talked about that, but then
that's
he was like,
so
you know,
funny. You know, that guy,
isn't that crazy?
At Expo West, and he had a small little table and I'm like, wow, this guy's a firecracker. And I'm supporting you.
That's awesome.
It's a great story.
That's very cool. And goes to show you know everybody. That's amazing to me. Amazing. It's funny.
Take that, Clara.
I'll make sure we tell her that. So, all right, now I'm going to bring up something, I guess, negative or whatever, but inflation. Inflation is, it affects every industry, especially food. How much of an impact has that had on you guys?
We're imported products, so our products are expensive already. And so it's tough. We have to find, find other opportunities. That's why we invested in this Cafe Spice that makes meals. So maybe we make things more efficient for more of our customers and look at other opportunities. Maybe source something that's coming from Europe, getting it from South America. And we're always looking for ways to skin. We started importing French fries from Belgium to the East Coast because it's more effective and looking at opportunities like that. And now we're looking at opportunities in India. And you always have to turn over rocks, look for more opportunities. It's scary. And it's all the news, the price inflation. So we're always looking for newer opportunities to try to make things better for our customers.
And being a global, you know, accessing globally with conflict and things like that. I mean, obviously that's affecting everything. I mean, is there ever a chance where, well, one area of the business is sort of shut down, or, hey, we can't get this from there, or
things happen all the time. I mean, you know, when the Ukraine war first started, you know, it was a big factor because it happened. Europe was tough. And then when there was a big problem with freight from Asia, supply chain issues from COVID. I mean, we've seen them all, Mike.
Crazy.
It's hard. And now there's an impending dock strike that's going to come. So that's going to affect from Maine all the way to Texas, and that's really making us very nervous, and our customers nervous. So, but we do the best we can, and we keep fighting every day. You know, get up and play some tennis. You know?
That's what I was going to say. You get up, play tennis, and smile, and have a positive attitude, and that's the secret sauce.
Attitude. You just got it. You know.
You know, and I do love, because every time I talk, I think you always say, yeah, I played tennis with my dad this morning. And, you know, family businesses, there's so many family businesses that end up like not talking to each other. And you hear all the generational strife or the falling apart. The fact that you still hang with your dad. My dad was my best friend. So that's just so near and dear to me. It's incredible. I think that's awesome.
Today I was a little upset with him. I showed up at his house at 10 to 6, pouring rain. And the match was canceled. So I don't wake up for nothing.
Oh, boy.
I'm a little annoyed, but that doesn't happen that often. So.
I hope you don't ever let him win.
Well, I'm his partner. He doesn't move very well. And no one's allowed to drop shot him. You know, everyone starts booing whoever drop shot him. It was an accident, but like, no, you know. He's got a bunch of rules.
That's awesome. It's his own tennis game, right?
It's his own tennis game.
That's fantastic. So if I may ask, and I know if there's something you can't say, that's fine, but what's next for Gellert Global? I mean, what is anything new on the horizon, anything exciting you could talk about?
Yeah, more opportunities. You know, we have such a great team. We have such great suppliers, such great employees, such great customers. We just want to keep doing what we're doing and look for more opportunities. And if it makes sense to make an acquisition, we're going to do it. And it's fun, you know. I mean, you know, just look at my cousin in Five Guys. We were like 12 Five Guys. Now this year, by the end of the year, we'll have 100.
That's awesome.
It's just opportunistic and good people and growth to move forward.
Yeah, and Dan Rowe, as you mentioned, he's a king of a guy, and he was actually on the podcast, and he's fantastic. So that's good company right there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we were at a YPO event, and he's like, and we're looking. My cousin at the time had a bunch of Cinnabons, and we're looking for our second concept, and we're at a YPO in D.C. He's like, Andy, come try this concept. And I took a bite of the Five Guy burger. I'm like, this is like a when you taste a Cinnabon for the first time.
Right.
Wow factor.
Yeah.
I called my cousin, and the next thing we know, you know, we're down there signing the deal. So
That's awesome.
It's been a great journey.
Yeah, fantastic. Very cool. All right, so now I asked this question. I have one last question, all right? And this is probably, well, I don't know if it'll be easy for you, but it's not like you have to say, you can't say Five Guys. So I have to throw that out there. So, but if you have one final meal, what would you eat and why? And I'm going to say this too.
That's the hardest thing.
I want to know who with.
It's impossible. That's like the hardest question anyone can ever ask. I love, like, it's like, I think I told you before we started at the U.S. Open with my son and my wife, and there's so much food options. I had a headache. I couldn't decide what to get. Would I get the Korean bowl or the pat lafita steak sandwich or the fancy chicken with truffles, the dumplings, you know? I'm like, I almost get a headache. I can't even decide. So that's, it's impossible. I love eating. I love food experiences. I love being surprised. I like going to a chef and say, just surprise me.
Yeah.
Just give me what you do best and let me try it. There's not one meal that I have to have. I love a good sandwich. I love a good burger. I like a good steak. I like Italian, French, Spanish food, everything.
You know, it's funny. I'm the same way. I'm lucky I can eat anything. Like, I don't get nothing. I don't have any allergies. I don't get sick. But, you know, if I have a go-to at a certain thing at a certain place, I'll have my go-to. But 9 out of 10 times when I go to a restaurant, like whatever the chef wants to make, because I figured he's going to put his heart and soul in it, right? If I'm asking him his opinion.
Yeah, if they put it on the menu and they're behind it, I'm going to take their recognition instead of something I really want. So,
right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You nailed it. And I love the fact you mentioned the U.S. Open, and there was somebody there at the U.S. Open that had better seats than you, which was your?
My father. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Andy, I love being with you. I love talking to you, and I appreciate your time. Just thank you so much for being on Fork Tales.
No, Mike, first of all, congratulations to you and the organization you built, and you've always been – you're always smiling too. I mean, that's why we like each other so much. Yeah. We're always smiling, have a good time, and your trends are amazing. And really, I really enjoyed seeing you and doing this with yourself.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
All right.